At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs, like your boss still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am?
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best, so guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Further toward the Vienna model, we'll have to go beyond the market. We can establish community land trusts to gradually buy up housing on the private market and convert it to community ownership. We can give tenants a right of first refusal to buy out their landlords when buildings go up for sale. And we can fully commit to a new era of social housing, ending subsidies for luxury housing development and using our wealth to build beautiful, high-quality social housing projects that offer good homes and strong communities to everyone. We won't decommodify housing overnight, but we know what we have to do, and we have history to guide us.
That is New York City mayor candidate officially for the Democrat Party as of today. When people tell you who they are, it's important to listen to them. And we've been listening to this candidate who's a socialist say who he is for quite some time. Let's get to Harris Faulkner. So great to have her back on the show. She is the author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Faith Still Moves Mountains, and of course, the anchor and host of the Faulkner Focus and Outnumbered on Fox News. Harris, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Well, hello, Annie. It's great to talk with you. It has been a huge day of news. I know you're talking about Zoran Mamdani here in New York City. The president even had a word or two for him in the last couple of days. And again today, basically, New Yorkers, beware. He's a communist. I mean, these are the words that the president of the United States are using. And of course, New York is his home. So he feels a certain kind of way about it. But I don't know who really wants communism in New York City, where stuff is already put into the hands of so many people who are not here legally and have committed further crimes. I mean, we know we have thousands of unvetted criminals amongst us. Yes, they came across the border illegally, but then they furthered that by committing other types of crimes. We know we have thousands of them. We learned that under Mayor Eric Adams earlier in his term under former President Joe Biden. So that, what I call an invasion of illegal aliens who still are committing crimes, it's untenable for us to take. But for this guy, Mamdani, to say if he were mayor, what he would do is kind of rich. Because had he stayed an assemblyman for New York City, he might have been able to do some of the things he's pitching. I don't know if he read the job requirements for mayor.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting thing for people to follow. As he has become the official Democratic nominee, we're here in the heartland of the country, St. Louis, Missouri. We've got a blue state across the river, just like you're in New Jersey. I live in Illinois, a red state in Missouri. And so I'm looking at a socialist running for mayor in New York City who seems to be the front runner. I'm curious if you think that this is important for people in St. Louis, Missouri, here in the Midwest to be following.
Well, I mean, I don't know the texture of the politics there as much as I did when I lived in the state, just north of there, obviously, Kansas City. But I will say the texture of the policies and politics for Americans across the country is they don't want this. Mm-hmm. They could have had far left policies from Kamala Harris. They said as a nation, majority, popularity vote in all seven battleground states, that that's not the life they want. They don't want Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar and Bernie Sanders. They don't want that. They've had opportunities to express on a national level, because either those people have run for president or they're sniffing it out now, like AOC. The country's already decided upon that. So if you're in St. Louis or anywhere else, you need to pay attention to New York City. Technically, for the Democratic Party, Annie, this is not about far-left socialist communistic policies. This is about them figuring out how to win. And if this is what it takes, they will jump on this bandwagon. And all those moderates I keep hearing, and whatever happened to the Blue Dog Democrats and all of that, they couldn't win across the board.
Yeah.
They couldn't win. And they couldn't win the White House even when votes were usurped. The people were usurped. Those Democratic voters were not consulted and asked, would you prefer Kamala Harris over an aging, out-of-touch Joe Biden or an open primary? They were never given that choice. It was taken from them by the elites in the party, those people who think that when they can run the DNC and the, you know, and those programs that collect money and funding, that they get to make all the decisions. So it's tough. I don't think that this guy is popular across the country. I'm not even certain he's popular here in New York. He only won, and he won by 13% in this particular category. He only won over the richest people in New York, which means I don't know if their guilt needs to be assuaged. I have no idea what's going on there. Some of them are young, rich tech, that sort of thing. Those are the demographics that we're learning. The lower income went to Andrew Cuomo by 13%. So it's interesting. The spectrum spanned, it was divided, and many of the middle income, yeah, they were kind of split too. Maybe a few broke for Mom Donnie on issues of far left politics, like anti-Semitism. I hate to say it, there are 1.3 million Jews in New York City. It's the largest population outside of Israel is in this state of New York, so I don't get it. But yeah, he didn't win with the people he's preaching the free stuff to. And I find that to be because the other stuff that he's about doesn't appeal to him. They have more reason to vote than the people in the other categories necessarily based on what he's saying. Mm-hmm. You don't know how the general is going to look for the city. I think if they can get the independent out of the race, or not let Andrew Cuomo run as an independent, and you know the Democrats can pull that stuff because sure, they did it with Biden and Kamala, maybe Eric Adams has a shot as an independent. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I think that it's going to be an incredible study for all of America to see how this unfolds. I don't know that we're going to have a straight up socialist identifying themselves as a run for mayor here in St. Louis, but it's a very far left leaning blue city, certainly in a very red state.
Better than Chicago?
In Missouri, yes. And you know, Illinois is a red state with a very blue Cook County. I don't know if you have ever heard the statistic, but a statewide candidate in Illinois can win the Republican nomination and actually win the statewide if they win 20% of Cook County. And I'm pulling hard for Gianna Caldwell to run for Senate here. I would hate to take him away from Fox News, but I want him bad.
I love that.
I want to ask you, I heard a guest that you had on Outnumbered this week talk about how people were talking to Andrew Cuomo, like, why are we hearing about Mom Donnie in the news all the time? And he said the Democrat Party is a mess. There's basically no leadership there. So we've seen the Democrat Party fall apart. But I'm looking at Donald Trump every day. You cover this, you know, for millions of people every day. But Donald Trump is stacking up the wins, and we're not even 6 months in. How do you feel that Donald Trump has transformed what it means to identify as a Republican in this country?
I'm going to break it down the way I did for Democrats. We want to win.
Simple.
The nation wants to win. They didn't see any wins with Biden. They saw at 9.1% inflation. Oh, my goodness. We were in a category we hadn't been in before without some sort of catastrophe falling. Oh, well, there was one. A man who was to the point where he was almost non-sentient most of the time he spent in public. But look, it all hinges on the same thing. Americans want someone who can deliver. American voters voted for someone who can deliver. And he's got to deliver. He doesn't have a choice either. I mean, it's not like President Trump is stacking wins because he's been losing. He's doing it because he's doing one right after the other. You've got to get them and then roll. Today, during Outnumbered, so during the noon hour Eastern, we made the announcement that the official recount of the Mondani vote against Cuomo was given and that he did, in fact, officially win. They had to do that because Mondani won with fewer than 50%. So that was baked in. But again, he gets a win. He gets a headline for the day. You see what I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
Trump keeps getting a headline. He knows that the big, beautiful bill is probably on schedule to pass after 25 hours. They had to do it at some point today, right? So he knew that. He knew the optics would be on the ground in Florida at Alligator Alcatraz with a very popular governor, Ron DeSantis, who led on the issue just like the president did on illegal immigration. He was the governor who sent the first people northeast to Martha's Vineyard. He got that conversation started by, well, why don't the rich people want to pay for these people? I gave them a chance. Well, he's doing it again. The president's with him. He took his DHS secretary, Kristi Noem, with him. They had so many pop-up news conferences during the 11 o'clock my hour.
Yeah.
I had on lawmakers with me. I had on Texas House Representative Chip Roy of the great state of Texas, border state, with me. And I had to keep thanking his good grace because we had to keep cutting away. The president was talking again. He was having another news conference. He knows how to own that moment. So all day long, he's had wins. Mondani had an important win today, but can he sustain that over time? I argue you can't do that with Andrew Cuomo. First of all, he's got too much baggage that involves women. Full stop.
Right.
Yeah, full stop.
Right.
I don't know the adjudication and all of that right off the top of my head. I can't remember who got what amount or whatever. Was there money? Did somebody get paid off? Was he found innocent or just not guilty? I don't remember. I just remember the number was higher than five women who alleged things against this governor, former governor. So he's coming back out with all of that. He didn't talk to young people. He didn't go on social media and meet people where they are. Like, I just don't think he's a candidate of 2025.
Yeah.
But that's just my humble opinion.
I think it's a great opinion.
Educated, but humble.
Yes, for certain. You know, I pay attention to President Trump. You know, he's speaking all of the time. The amount of time that he is the one who takes the questions, they fire him off at him. He said today in Florida at that press conference that he's kind of enjoyed his relationship with the press lately, that it's been good compared to the way it's been in the past. But I feel like he's actually, it's almost, I can almost choke on this saying out because getting these words out, because from where he's come to where he is right now, I think that the American people look to Donald Trump and say, this guy knows what he's doing. And even if I have questions, the Republican Party is debating on a lot of issues, certainly today, even more so, but people trust him and they trust his leadership and his guidance that he knows what's best. And I think that having covered him for this long, it's really a wild ride to get to this point in 2025 where people look to him and say, we trust your vision.
Well, I mean, if you compare 160 days under anybody, this has been tremendous in terms of the volume of access to the president that the media have, the volume of news conferences and bilateral meetings and White House Oval Office type of situations. Some rather explosive and things that we've never seen, like his, you know, in the White House bilateral with Zelensky. I mean, just think about all the world leaders who come in and just broken all the dishes on the floor. You know, I mean, it went south fast. I don't know if you're Canada. Were you happy after that? I don't know what your happiness looks like, but my goodness, he's ruined some folks' days just by being him.
Yeah.
He's not trying to play gotcha or be snookered or anything like that. I mean, he's not trying to play victim or king. He is just simply saying, you wanted to talk to me. You still haven't made a tariff deal with me. What do you want to talk about? Oh, let's talk about this. Oops. Person who's visiting wishes he hadn't picked that. I mean, I don't know that we've ever seen this kind of communication from not even Trump in his first term was like this.
Yeah.
So he came in with a vision, and this is inherently, I think, the answer to your previous question about, you know, will you see this in St. Louis? If he can infuse his ability to deliver and to make a copious argument to the American people by speaking so much to the media that they cover him, they don't just talk about him, they talk to him, which is different. They cover him. If he can do that and infuse some of that, you know, just supreme communicative ability that he has, communicative ability, I think Democrats are going to be sore for a long time. I don't know if messaging will even make up what they lack in policy and access. I mean, I think about the last few interviews of Joe Biden, including when he went on The View post-presidency and was trying to, remember he was with his wife,
yeah,
and they were trying to hang on to his legacy, and some of the books that started to come out about him, and it wasn't a glory time for the Bidens. Haven't seen him since.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that went well. I think the PR people were like, well, let's sit this one out for a little bit, certainly. Harris Faulkner.
But you would think maybe he could help his team play, but he can't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a demise that is interesting to watch. And you were mentioning this on your show, I think it was yesterday. Like, we hope that people stay focused and continue to push on that issue as well, because we deserve the truth. You do that every day on Fox News, and we love watching it. And we're always grateful when you
thank
have some
you.
Time for us here. Harris Faulkner, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Stay blessed.
Come back again. You as well. God bless you. Author of the number one New York Times bestseller, Faith Still Moves Mountains, Harris Faulkner, anchor and host of the Faulkner Focus and Outnumbered on Fox. I spend 2 hours with her pretty much every day. And always great to have her on for a couple minutes here on The Annie Fry Show. Quick break. We'll get Ryan back in here, and we're going to sync up with Link Lauren at 1:30 on the show. Can't wait to have him on. He brings energy everywhere he goes, which is why we're like, come on The Annie Fry Show anytime you can. Link Lauren will be with us at 1:30. Make sure you're tuned in for that. And go give Harris Faulkner a thank you on X if you so choose. Tell her thanks for coming on to our little St. Louis radio station here. It's always great to speak with her. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh, my God.
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ooh, tiny. Inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live chat poll for today. At this point, who would you like to see as the next GOP president? J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Sarah Sanders, or someone else? Ron DeSantis getting a few shout outs in the comments today. Brad, who's your pick?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Ron DeSantis, because I voted someone else and I still think it's Ron DeSantis. And the reason I think that it's Ron DeSantis is I think that a governor's ability to govern scales, and I think it would be easier and he would have a lot of success based on the experience that he has governing Florida. And I look at Florida and go, let's make all of the United States Florida, because Florida looks great.
Keith says a Vance Rubio ticket. Has Vance really like sold you? Because to me, the thing that is the thumbs up about Vance is that Trump picked him.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's, I think everything, I don't have anything negative to say about it. But the, gosh, I said I was Rubio. I love Ron DeSantis too. Like, if it turned out to be one of those two, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. If it was Vance, there's none of these people that are being suggested on here that I've seen so far are no's to me. But you need A, first and foremost, somebody who can win. And B, you need somebody who's genuine. This is what Hogan Gidley was talking about yesterday quite a bit with us. You can't come in and do Trump. Nobody does that. Even the Trump kids, when they do Trump, and they are Trump, it feels like they're posturing.
I don't know with Vance, though, because it seems like he had a reputation pre-vice presidential pick for being a fighter. And in fact, he had a reputation for
fighting
being
for what?
Only a fighter. Like that he was, I don't want to say Chris Christie type, but he was willing to go to the mat for stuff.
For what?
With the media in ways that others weren't. Like, he was just willing to do that publicly, and he was good at it. And
like, he's unbothered.
Yeah, and a lot of politicians aren't either very good at that or they're not willing to do it, but he had that reputation. Policy-wise, I can't tell you exactly where he stood on everything pre-Trump, and so in that sense, now that he's been adopted very much into MAGA, he pretty much represents MAGA of America First policies, but I don't know if that's a bad thing. I mean, for his possible re-election.
Vance?
Yeah.
He's fully in. Again, nothing negative to say about J.D. Vance. My biggest question is electability. And going off of what Hogan said yesterday, and you can go to the Odyssey app and check out our podcasts there if you want to hear that interview, the discussion we had with Hogan yesterday. God bless you. Are you okay? You need a minute?
I think I'm going to be okay.
It's like 3 or 4 in a row.
Yeah. I've never seen him do that before. J.D. Vance has that he's super, he's a dude. He's like,
willing to chill.
You can look at him and go, that's J.D. Vance. And when he says something, I believe that's what J.D. Vance thinks in his head. So I think that is incredibly important. You need someone who's genuine. The thing that Donald Trump has had, in my opinion, which is vision and the experience to back up, having vision brought to reality. Just in business, just in the way he has lived his life and done so successfully. Included in that was failure, and it didn't stop him, which is what you need. I think Marco Rubio, in his initial campaign in 2016 for president, had vision for this country in a way that I had not seen before that. The Donald Trump train had taken off on the tracks at the same time, and I wasn't paying attention to it. I was not enamored immediately by the Donald Trump thing. I was kind of about it, not interested. I have enough common sense in my head to vote for the guy to keep Hillary Clinton from becoming the president, and then had enough humility about myself to be like, wow, this guy's great. This guy is a conservative in practice, not just in talk, which is what a lot of the smooth talkers were not. They know exactly what to say to you, but they couldn't deliver. I think that the Republican Party, if they try to do a Trump impersonator, it will fail miserably.
I do too, and that's why Vance is good, is because he really is associated with all of Trump's policies now, but he's not disingenuous. Marco Rubio isn't either. That's what he's so Vance has this kind of podcasty kind of quality about him where he's able to just chill and he's a regular guy. Marco Rubio doesn't give off that vibe to me, but he seems incredibly genuine.
But he seems like if you wanted to live in a country where you could chill out and talk with the guys in a podcast about whatever you want, if Marco Rubio were at the helm, you'd be safe doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to be broskies with the president of the United States. I need them to know what they're doing and mean business. And since Marco Rubio is doing basically all the jobs that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump aren't, I feel like we'd be comfortable there. I don't think you can lose with either of those two. Our friend Link Lauren on The Annie Fry Show in just a couple minutes. Do not go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think so. I think what's going to happen is Doge is going to look at Musk. And if Doge looks at Musk, we're going to save a fortune. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay,
I don't think
okay.
He should be playing that game with me.
President Trump and Elon Musk, the family is fighting again. What does this mean? Are we worried? There's a lot of winning going on right now. The Senate has passed the big, beautiful bill, and it goes to the House. That slap fight will happen. It'll probably get passed by tomorrow, signed by the end of the week. The sausage making is ugly, and now Elon Musk and Trump are going back at it with one another again. Let's ask our friend Link Lauren about it. Who's back with us? A must subscribe to podcast Spot On with Link Lauren. Do not miss it. He's a former senior advisor to RFK Jr. and a great political commentator. Link, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me. I was just saying, I was like, I love Annie Fry. We need to have her on my podcast. I don't know if you do other people's podcasts.
Sure.
And shows, but I'd love to have you on mine.
I would love to. I would love to do that. Absolutely. Did you hear that Elon Musk, Donald Trump little thing earlier today as they arrived at Alligator Alcatraz?
Yeah, well, I'm just jealous. I'm not at Alligator Alcatraz. I want to go tour. I want to see it. I'm looking for some new alligator shoes, so I think it'd be a really beneficial trip.
You're shopping. You're going there to shop.
Shopping.
I see.
Exactly. It's like that scene from Happy Gilmore where he's fighting with the alligator and then he gets the ball back. Yeah, that's how I imagined it. But no, everybody seems to be having a good time. It seems like President Trump has now fled. He's left Alligator Alley. He's headed back to the White House. While he was there on split screen, the Senate passed the one big, beautiful bill. I like my bills like I like my men, big, beautiful, and ideally just one of them. So, yeah, it looks like, yeah, exactly.
There's somebody out there.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it's headed to the House now. I don't know what's going on with Senator Murkowski. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm one of those people. Just let me know, okay? If it passes, great. If it doesn't, let me know so I can cover it, because I don't know what the heck is going to happen. And as for Elon and Trump, I don't really think that much about Elon either, and that's not a slight to Elon. You know, mm-hmm. He really supported President Trump's campaign financially, but I have to be honest, I feel like that money would have been there. I think this is President Trump's moment, right? He won on the policies, and so, you know, Elon can go on and do his businesses. President Trump was elected, not Elon.
Yeah. Yeah, because certainly. I think that the Elon Musk-Donald Trump relationship, I kind of held my breath through the whole thing. It was so publicized for obvious reasons. And then mm-hmm. There was the split, and then there was a little regret, and I thought it was kind of behind us. Now it's here again, and I wonder how much of that is stoked by the left. But what side of this fight would the left even take? They can't agree on anything right now as a party.
No, they can't agree on anything except that they want illegals to have better health care than I do on Blue Cross and that they want open borders. No, the left can't agree on anything. But as for President Trump and Elon Musk, my feeling is I don't think President Trump is giving Elon Musk that much thought. I think on social media and in the press, they love to have this feud, like Elon and Trump have had a falling out. I feel like President Trump was like, all right, well, we're moving on. You know, I don't think he was really too bothered by the whole Elon situation. And as I've said for years, I've never been a huge fan of Tesla. I've been on record for this for years. Anytime I'm in a Tesla, it's kind of rickety. I'm fighting for my life. You go over a pothole and it feels like the Northridge earthquake. So I've never been a huge, you know, Tesla person, but I wish Elon well. It's just sure. President Trump has a country to run. You know, you can keep tweeting. And I will say, I understand Elon's concern, right? Elon's like, why do we keep increasing the debt ceiling? We're, you know, $37 trillion in debt. I understand that, but we have to get border security. We have to get all of these things. And I don't know, I'm just going to trust the process and go with President Trump on this one.
Amen. I second that completely. I think that the American people have leaned into trusting Donald Trump's vision and have really shown that in a lot of the polling that comes across, that Donald Trump continues to poll well, especially this far into his second term in office. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what you think about some of the other issues that maybe aren't mainstream today, of course, with the Senate passing the big, beautiful bill. There are just this, there's a slow drip, and it's encouraging, of stuff coming out of the RFK Jr. Health and Human Services camp, mm-hmm. where there are companies, not because they're being mandated to, but because he's having conversations with them, that are telling us, like Nestle, among others, General Mills, we're going to do this a healthier way. How do you feel about RFK Jr.'s progress in the cabinet so far?
Oh, I think he's doing great, especially coming into a system where he's never, I think because people are under the impression his last name was Kennedy, he had all this, you know, government experience, you know, folks who maybe weren't paying so much attention. He'd never held public office, you know, never been a governor or a senator or a congressman. So he's coming into the cabinet, into the system, and getting his footing and getting his bearings. I think he's killing it and doing so well at Health and Human Services. And I think the free market, I think capitalism are really going to help push the health and wellness movement along, because when other companies start to say, well, we're banning our dyes and you're going to want our products because they're healthier and better for your children, other companies are going to have to follow suit if they're capitalist and they want to make money. And so it's interesting watching all these companies now. It's like every other day a new one comes out, you know, Hershey's and this one and that one, because they got to keep up. Parents are going to stop putting it in their grocery carts. You know, they're going to go mm-hmm. with the healthier alternatives.
Yeah, that's perfect example of what the free market can do. The first company mm-hmm. to get out there, they kind of get the main headlines, and then everybody else has to say, well, if I want to compete with Nestle and I'm Hershey, then I'm going to have to do what I need to do to make sure that I'm not the unhealthy option, right, as you mentioned, that stays out of the cart. I'm going to take you to New York City now. Mamdani, the New York City socialist, self-professed socialist candidate. Have you ever identified yourself, Link, as a Democrat? How do you ascribe?
No. Oh, God, I won't even go out with a Democrat. Could you imagine? Oh, I'm getting sick.
Okay, don't get sick.
But yeah, no, I've never identified as a Democrat. I think because I went to NYU and I lived in New York mm-hmm. and, you know, had friends who were Democrats and super liberal. People are like, oh, you were so far left and this and that. It's like, no, not really. Like, I'm from Dallas, grew up in a conservative environment. You know, my brother drives a pickup truck and collects guns. Like, that's my family. So I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate.
Yeah.
So I was never super liberal. Obviously, when I was living in New York, going to NYU, I was maybe a little more left and a little more, you know, trying to understand some of these things that were coming up as it pertains to LGBT, but now I don't care to please anyone and I just speak my mind. And when it comes to Zoran Mamdani, I think he's a pretty scary figure because he's a really effective communicator. He can smile in your face, kind of like Gavin Newsom does, but he's actually stabbing you in the back and ruining your life in the meantime. You know, I think Zoran Mamdani also was really good with social media. And as someone, you know, who worked on social media and comms on a campaign, you go to TikTok, you go to these places, you tell a bunch of young people they're going to have free everything, free this, free that. Hey, they're probably going to turn out and vote for you. And that's what he did. The problem is the people that are paying their taxes, that are going to pay for all that free stuff, they're going to leave New York City. So good luck to you on that, Zoran.
Amen to that. Do you believe that folks like Mamdani is an actual candidate? People are going to be able to cast their vote and say, yes, I choose what he stands for. Do you think that he has a different reality that maybe you and I do, that all of these policies, we feel like we understand how this ends if you start electing mm-hmm. socialists in this country? Do you think mm-hmm. he exists in a different reality where he thinks there's some utopia that's going to be achieved? Or do you think he knows how we at least feel it will end?
I think Zoran Mamdani is out for fame, fortune, clicks, in views, because he, as a recovering theater kid myself, game knows game. Like, I can see a theater kid from a mile away. And I feel like Zoran Mamdani, he's a theater kid. He tried to hack it in a million other areas. He couldn't do that. So now he's running in New York City, where if you tell all these kids from Columbia and Harvard and these rich white women like Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City,
yes,
you tell them you're going to get free this and free that, I'm like the anti-Trump, hey, they're going to come out and vote for you. But I actually don't expect Zoran Mamdani to get anything accomplished. And it's not just that he doesn't have governing experience. He doesn't seem that smart. Like, he's going to be able to get anything done. And the stuff he's promising these kids, I don't think he has any way of doing. I don't think as mayor of New York City, that's even in his wheelhouse or in his domain. When he was an assemblyman, he actually had a little more power to do some of that stuff with the freebies and the handouts. As mayor, from what I'm reading, he can't actually get that stuff done. But like an AOC, like a Jasmine Crockett, these Democrats, they want fame, fortune, and attention and followers. They're not actually interested in doing anything.
I wonder if that is something that the electorate is going to get tired of. I mean, all this social media stuff, people who are able to captivate, as you were talking about working in comms on a campaign, when you're able to captivate, how to really, really utilize that for your benefit, the people on the other end, you know, it's like any effective advertising, you don't really understand you're being sold something. I'm wondering if you think that the electorate is going to grow smarter than that as we become more accustomed to the way social media is, or if this is just the future, if this is the new way.
So I think the American people are the smartest people. I always trust them, and they know best, and they know what's best for their household and their families and their kids. Like I've been saying the last week with the Supreme Court decision on the LGBT books, I think parents know what's best for their kids and their household. And I think they knew in this last election with Kamala Harris, remember, she was astroturfed all over social media. They did like that brat summer, and they did the memes and the videos, and they really made it seem like she was just this viral sensation. Well, she ended up losing every single swing state, because at the end of the day, people were like, that's great that you're viral, but we're going to vote for policies that actually help us. You know, it's great that you can like twerk and dance and like drop it low and laugh on cue, but we actually need food on the table. And with Kamala Harris, the one thing I'll say also, and I've been talking about this the last week since the primary in New York, Kamala has, and Gavin Newsom, the Democrat Party, has the exact same policies as Zoran Mamdani. I feel like Kamala, Gavin, and Biden were just better at hiding it, because Kamala, she wanted open borders. She wanted to defund the police. She wanted taxpayer-funded surgeries for trans people. I remember that ad all over the last few weeks before the election. So Kamala has the exact same policies as Zoran Mamdani. She was just a little bit, you know, more polished in that sense, and she'd been in the game a little bit longer. But no, I wouldn't trust any of these people.
Oh, it's a great analysis. I appreciate it. Link, you're a treasure. We appreciate you being with us. We hope you'll come back soon. You extend that invitation again.
I want to come back on Zoom. Hello. It's just Tuesdays, like, because I film Monday and Wednesdays, Tuesday is my day to run around and get everything done. So I have to come back on Zoom and kick it with you guys. And thank you. Thank you so much for being supportive. Thank you so much.
You bet so much. We will absolutely do that next time. Link Lauren, thank you so much.
Bye, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Link Lauren, a great podcast. A lot of recommendations coming from the YouTube chat as well to check out. Spot on with Link Lauren. Gotten the chance to make this really great, awesome podcast because of Megyn Kelly. Because Megyn Kelly sees people like Link Lauren as giving them platforms to be successful and propping them up and then letting them, you know, take it and run with it. And Link, truly, I met him when I was at the White House, and there's all these people buzzing around at the White House, in the press room, around the area, just outside the press room, where you see a lot of those people do stand-up interviews at the White House. And everyone's got a job to do. It's not like a tea party where everybody's welcoming everyone. But Link was so kind to me, talked to me. I could ask him questions, and he was just an absolutely genuine, kind person. And I'm so glad he's been able to come on here. We'll get him on Zoom so you can watch him as well on the YouTube channel while you listen on 97.1 FM Talk or the Odyssey app. Let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show around the corner. At this point, who would you like to see as the next GOP president? J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, Sarah Sanders, or someone else? RFK Jr. made a comment about Marco Rubio saying, I never really approved of him, but we'll tell you what he said after that next. Don't go away. So now we watch the House and we see what the House is going to do with the big, beautiful bill. It's been a pretty busy, big news day. And watching that bill get passed out of the Senate, I thought I saw earlier this morning, they're like, oh, it should be passed by midnight tonight. And then it happened right before the show started here. You think that you think Trump's going to be signing this thing on July 4th,
no,
Ryan?
No, I think, and you could be right, this could sail through, but I just don't, I think there's going to be more fighting with the House than we expect.
Oh, more than anticipated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fox News reports the House of Representatives is beginning the final legislative sprint of President Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill before the commander-in-chief signs it into law. The powerful House panel is the final gatekeeper before most pieces of legislation get a chamber-wide vote. It comes with the after the Senate spent more than 24 straight hours considering the bill, eventually passing it along the narrowest of margins around midday Wednesday, today. Vice President J.D. Vance was on Capitol Hill to cast the tie-breaking vote. It's not clear how long the House Rules Committee meeting will go. When the panel considered the House's own version of the bill in May, Democrats introduced dozens of amendments to symbolically object to the bill and delay the process. Did you see any of the amendments that were being proposed?
I haven't seen a lot. I've been watching and trying to pay attention, but I haven't seen much substantial. Like, I guess I should have paid more attention to the actual process instead of just reading about it, but no, I haven't.
Here's four Senate amendments to the bill that failed and one that passed. This is a Fox News report here. Rural hospital funding. This is something that you've heard a lot about from your senator here, Josh Hawley, talking about making sure that they're cared for. Susan Collins' amendment would have doubled funding for rural hospitals from $25 billion to $50 billion over the next 10 years. And it would have allowed a larger number of medical providers to access the funds. Quote, rural providers, especially our rural hospitals and nursing homes, are under great financial strain right now, with many having recently closed and others being at risk of closing. The amendment would help keep them open and caring for those who live in rural communities. She said that the bill was something of an olive branch to Democrats, which you don't need to please. I don't know why we would be bothering with that, who had criticized the cuts to Medicaid involved in the mega bill. Her amendment would also have raised tax rates for individuals who make more than $25 million a year and couples who make more than $50 million. Senator Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, argued Collins' amendment was merely putting a Band-Aid on an amputation. Another one that was discussed here, expanded Medicaid cuts. Senators Cornyn, Scott from Florida, and Barrasso of Wyoming pushed an amendment cutting an additional $313 billion in Medicaid funding on Monday. The base bill already cuts $930 billion in funding for Medicaid, and they wanted that extra $313. Another one that failed, boosting deductibles for teachers. Senator Kennedy had proposed an amendment that would have allowed teachers to deduct $600 in school supplies that they pay for out of pocket each year. That proposal failed 46-54. A child tax credit enhancement. Senator Bennett proposed an amendment that would have increased both the amount of availability of the child tax credit included in the mega bill. That was rejected 22-78. And the one amendment that did succeed, this is an interesting one, and I want to lean into this at some point. If we could get, it'd be so great to get Senator Blackburn on the show to talk about it, from Tennessee. Her measure that killed a provision in the bill that would have placed a 10-year moratorium on state AI regulations. The original version of the bill would have forced states to choose between enforcing AI regulations or accepting federal funding to expand broadband internet access. Senator Markey and Blackburn, so as a Democrat and a Republican, joined Senator Cantwell in sponsoring the amendment. The Senate passed that amendment in an overwhelming 99-1 vote. Do you know who voted against it?
Mazie Hirono.
I almost said something bad. The retiring senator from North Carolina, Tom Tillis.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. How weird.
I should have asked Brad.
Brad knew.
Yeah.
Doggone it.
So those are some of the amendments that were provided and that that didn't pass and one that did. So the House will fight over it. I'd just like for them to keep. They're not going to, because that's the point of the loser has to come out and vocalize and say where they stand. Is it going to be messy? Yeah. Should it be messy? Probably.
Yeah, I think it should be messy. I mean, this process, people are talking about it being like, oh my gosh, you know, this is such a fight and it's such a slog. Man, it should be a slog. I would say the only way that it would not be is if everybody was much more on the same page for spending cuts. But then everybody's fighting to keep what they're going to keep in it. So I don't really know how this ends up not being a fight.
That's just the way it's supposed to be. It's a process where you need to have as many voices involved in the decision-making process that you can include without eliminating the possibility that, yes, something possibly could get done. And so, I mean, you understand that it's not going to be pretty, and you just got to gird your loins, folks, as we move through this. Listen to CNN talking about the Republican Party and their feelings for Trump.
I mean, any politician would like this number here, especially to see it go up. How about compared to other presidents who were Republicans?
Yeah, it's history-making. It's history-making. What are we talking about here? So why don't we look back? We have all the presidents, Republican presidents, going back over the last 35, 36, 37 years. What are we talking about? GOP, who strongly approved 5 months in. Look at this. George H.W. Bush, Bush 41, 46%. Bush 43, 59. You see Trump, the first term, 53. But look at this, 63%. He beats all the other Republicans on the board here. And I was looking even back since Reagan. And get this, Donald Trump beats Ronald Reagan when it comes to the strongly approved 5 months. And of course, Reagan was coming off that high after that assassination attempt. So the bottom line is Donald Trump is making history with the Republican base. He is more beloved by this Republican base than any Republican base loved any GOP president 5 months in. It is history making.
Signed with love, CNN.
That's astounding. Yeah. Because he's beating George W. Bush after 9/11.
Is it a second term, though?
Oh, that's right. That's right. But he still had a pretty high approval rating. No, that was 2001 that they were quoting. So,
well, then maybe. I guess maybe into the term. I don't know how you factor in like the second term of a non-consecutive two-term presidency. Nonetheless, folks, Donald Trump is killing it. He is doing what he said he would do. And it would appear as though the question, did you vote for this, is a yes, I did. Any regrets right now? Like, where would you land a regret?
Yeah, my one regret is that it's very typical, and you're going to hear me say it a lot, is that Trump didn't come out harder for a balanced budget. I think that if he had pushed it, it would have been more of a priority. Doesn't mean we would have gotten there, but he hasn't really talked about that much.
You'd rather him push for something that is a certain impossibility.
I would rather him attempt it.
He's talked about balanced budgets.
He's said it. But he hasn't put his weight behind it.
Do you think there's a real possibility that this Congress would pass what was necessary to balance this budget this time?
Not this Congress.
Well, then why do it?
Because they would have gotten closer if he had pushed it. It's just not a priority.
Well, agree to disagree. But the president continues his leadership, and we'll see if he's able to get it done in the House. Got a mystery guest in the next hour. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that?
I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.